A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Tuesday morning. We are progressing in the direction of a new week, and I seem to always circle back to the weather and just how things have kind of been recently. Yesterday was a very mild day, actually. Wore a t-shirt out there for a little bit. I had a jacket on, and then picking up the trash in the yard, which, you know, we live on a, bear with me on this, we live on a busy street, and I've always been intrigued how people want to just, I guess, dispose of their property. Paper products, I guess empty alcoholic beverages. Is I guess our yard is enticing for some reason, so therefore they feel the need to put their garbage. So yeah, was picking up that. So we have a special 5-gallon bucket and a picker upper thing there, or stick, whatever. But anyway, and so yeah, and then played some basketball with the kids, and even afterwards got finished and fired up the old grill. I noticed too that the grill has seen its better days. The advertising on some of those products seem a little deceptive. When we bought it, it was stainless steel, but the basin is not stainless steel, so therefore that's, started to deteriorate. And but we were able to cook some burgers, had some hamburgers yesterday evening, and even threw some bacon, had some foil down on the grill. I don't know what it is, when it gets a little, I think I had talked about this the other day, when it gets warmer outside and just being outside, not being confined because of colder temperatures and the ability to enjoy the sunshine. So I think in some ways, maybe there are those who would look forward to those moments where warmer temperatures are on the horizon coming shortly. So we look forward to spring, but now we are still in the midst of that place to where we don't really know what's to come with the weather. I think they said, the other day, Groundhog's Day, that the groundhog saw his shadow. And I think they were saying something about that the actual percentages of that being correct was like very low. And what was so comical, I guess, too, as I was listening to news, is as they were describing the details of Groundhog's Day, they did mention Bill Murray. So maybe a little side note. I don't know if you ever have seen the movie Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray. It's I always find that, get a little chuckle off of that movie when I've seen that. Well, maybe. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling this morning. Just had a decent day. Got to visit with some family from church in the hospital, and prayed with them, continue to pray for them even now. Praying for the Calvert family, precious family, love them. And but anyway, just kind of got to interact and have some conversations. It was good seeing some old friends, and just things in which, again, it is always amazing, how you look upon life and say, the details in which we probably would have never imagined that things would have happened the way they did, and the the paths of people's lives that we were able to cross and, you know, have interaction with them and be a part of their life for maybe a season. It's always a joy to, you know, see somebody that you haven't seen in a while and maybe catch up for a little bit and have those discussions. So, yeah, just I think it's that's a grace that God allows us to have those relationships. And, you know, I've often said that it's not coincidence that we meet the people that we meet and, you know, have those times where we get to know them and maybe even possibly learn something, you know. It's always the challenge is that we would say that in our opinionated mindset, it's beneficial for us to look at maybe how we could listen and learn from someone else that may be able to share some insight on whatever that is. Speaking on that, I mean, I just, again, bear with me. I remember a time when I used to dread getting water out of people's attics because their air conditioner condensation drain would overflow into what you call a secondary pan, which is this big metal pan that catches water. And so what would happen is that the mentality I had then was to get a shot back and suck it up and then carry it down, suck it up, carry it down. Well, then I met this one service technician. I don't remember his name. And he rode with me and he said, you know, man, that's a lot of work you're doing. He says, let's try this. And so he, you know, we had some 3/8 vinyl tubing and just kind of set it in the pan and siphoned it out and, you know, ran the hose, ran the 3/8 tubing all the way down to like either a commode or even out the window. And I've even ran out the door to this day. But, you know, just the ease, because, you know, some of those pans, they can hold maybe 10 gallons of water, possibly. Just all depends on the size of the pan. So, you know, him sharing that knowledge of using vinyl tubing instead of up and down and back and forth, and the chance of you spilling the water everywhere as you're coming down those sturdy attic stairs, right? they're not always as sturdy as they appear, especially with the weight limitation that they may have for an individual as myself. But anyway, that kind of helped the process. And so I was able to learn something from meeting this other service technician, and it proved as a value for myself in the future, and able to do things maybe a little bit easier than what I had had engaged in prior to. You know, I think that's the way we can look at, again, our interactions with people is, you know, sometimes we would say that there's some fear of, you know, somebody that may view something differently than we do, or maybe have a different thought process in how they go about whatever it may be. And so, I guess for maybe a challenge for all of us, and even myself to this day, is, you know, I think there is a true reason why the good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. A lot of common sense, right? And I think that those details in which God created us were definitely for a benefit for us to use wisely, to use very wisely. But so here we are, and a little tired this morning. Had a had a long night with Mr. Owen Lake. He's still transitioning through the whole process of sleeping by himself, and so that was, you know, that was a interesting time that we had. And you know, again, I think it's a time in which we look at our kids, and you know, we come alongside them. You know, it's years of investing. Amen. It's years of investing, and as I have been able to see the fruits of that investment in my two older boys, I'm very proud of my sons, Jace Norris and Clay Norris. My boys have, they're not boys anymore, they're men. And it's not, you know, you'd say that the efforts of your due diligence, but I feel most importantly that it's God's wisdom and his allowance and me being able to be led by him. And then ultimately my prayer has been for those two men to be directing their forethought and their understanding to follow Christ in their life. And so, yeah, Reagan and I have been blessed, and I'm grateful for those two special men in my life. They mean a lot to us. So yeah, my apologies. The mind kind of wanders, you know, and so that's just wanted to share that thought now. And so I just think that it's yeah. There's so much to learn from the life that God has granted us to live, and just the beauty of it. I feel that sometimes we get consumed by other things, don't we? But God in his mercy and his grace towards us, is he continues to allow us to see his plan unfold in our lives. So grateful for that. Thank the Lord for his grace. So moving on into James chapter 2, and reading these verses, I think that there's some insight for us to gain as we continue on in these passages. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, I feel as though that things that we've stated from yesterday, in particular when there was James in chapter 2 stating, showing some favoritism there, and how those, again, are response to people that may be of wealth, and then people that may not have as much. In particular, he labels or identifies these as, you know, as poor. And what's so intriguing is how he continues on in verse 5 and talks about God choosing the poor of the world to be rich in faith. And how oftentimes we would look back in the Bible and see how God worked in ways that probably man would not have fathomed. Again, I had referenced 1 Samuel yesterday, and how that implication of God looking at the inner man and not looking at the outward appearance. And I think that's something that, you know, when you say, okay, well, King David, a youth, a young man, and that God chose to use him. And so that would not be something that we would probably, again, acknowledge as being possibly wise or a good direction or leadership. So therefore, again, and how God works, the realm in which he operates, our minds are somewhat guided, again, by his word, but again, we are limited in our comprehension. Like, I think we again have the Spirit of God that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit, to illuminate things. But even in our limitation of being human, I don't think we fully grasp all those details. And it's not so much like it's a hidden mystery or, you know, something that we will never figure out. I think eventually, yes, through glorification, we will fully comprehend. But right now, it's also part of our sanctification. That it's a process in which God is continually working in and through our life, so that as we prepare for our eternal destination, we continue to learn and grow. So in this instance, when James chapter 2 is speaking towards how those interactions with either the poor or the rich man, he's stating that, you know, there's a way in how we carry our obedience towards the law is that we keep it all, you know. That we understand that the commandment for us in a simplistic form, right, would be to, I've said it always like this, is to love God and to love others. And then, of course, how that basically is put on display in our life. And I think that's the greater implication, is that we honor that. And I think that when that takes full root within us, that we fall in love with Christ and we fall in love with what he desires and how he wants to orchestrate things, then we see the essence of how that basically spills over towards how we treat other people, is that we see them, you know, we see those other people as God sees them. And so for, you know, as James says, there's mercy. There's a heart that basically represents some form of, or not a form, not some form of, but it represents compassion. Compassion towards all people, you know, and I think that's like one of the challenges that is before us as believers, is that because everything is so magnified, I think I've said this in the past, you know, it's like a heightened sense. A lot of it is because of social media, news sources, things of that nature, to where, you know, we would say that even people that have some form of understanding, to where they have feel led to live a different lifestyle, whether that be in sexuality, whether that be in you know, basically being promiscuous and other religions, or you know, their conviction about things that they see, you know, maybe even combative to some point towards scripture, towards God. And I think for the believer, you know, it's we're not up in arms towards these people. I think that's sometimes the light that's cast upon Christians, is like, you know, that we don't want to be affiliated with these people. We don't want to be a part of them. And I'm not even saying, like, you know, from that, the way in which I feel that we should look at those people is, again, is with a heart of compassion, you know. And I know that could probably be argued with saying, well, how am I supposed to be compassionate towards someone who could be so evil, or, you know, when maybe, you know, their representation is not reflecting, again, what Christ desires for their life, that they're just so captivated by sin that they're going in a different direction than how I feel and where I'm at in my life and how God's leading in my heart. So we would, you know, come to some sensibility there, even that. So how does that play out, and how do I react to those people? And I think that it's our responsibility as Christians that we share the love of Christ, and that we show compassion, and that we are merciful. But at the same token, I think the responsibility should bear witness towards the truth of what God's word leads. And it's done in a way that's reflected even in the life of Jesus. You know, I often think that just the ability in which these people were able to see the Son of God dwell among them in the flesh and have conversation with him, from the physical sense, of course. And just, again, I would imagine that, like, the aroma, we've talked about that, the aroma of Christ was probably very peaceful. You know, his response and his dealings and how he handled people. I feel as though, you know, people knew, of course, he is the Messiah, and they either received or rejected, one of the two. And but the way in which he demonstrated himself and shared of himself was loving and compassionate. And again, and it was in a way that there was conviction that laid at the heart in people's lives. And I think there's something there for us to learn from when we see the life of Christ and how he lived and again communicated with others, is that he didn't so much agree with the lifestyle or the sin that they were in. It was that he felt burdened for them, and he knew that the outcome of what they were involved in was going to yield and bring forth something far worse than they could ever imagine. And he wanted to rescue them from that. And he desires to do the same even today. And I think that bears within our heart. You know, it weighs, it's a weighty, weighty sense in how believers see others that are drawn away by sin, and how the influence of the darkness wants to be the forefront of their life, and how we want to lead them and bring them back towards the light, right? The Father of lights, because he is good and he is faithful. There's no deception within him at all. There's no sin within him. There's no gray areas. And so I think that's so beneficial for those who are in a position to where they need that, and they need that rescue. And I think that's the place where we find ourselves as Christians, you know, to share that story of hope and promise, to share that rescue that Christ desires to come and be a part of someone's life. And I think that's just, it's fulfilling to know that through Christ, it surpasses all things that this life could ever offer. I mean, at the end of it, it surpasses all things that this life could offer. And we come to that place and we desire to share that truth with others. So going back to James again, I mean, he reiterates some of these aspects, maybe not all the details in what I just said, but I think there is some, you know, correlation. Verse 8, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So, again, loving others, loving all people, and showing that mercy. Because he does conclude, so speak and so act, so speak, right? A lot of us do a lot of talking. I'm talking right now. Right. So speak and so act as in verse 12, as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm thankful that Jesus triumphs over judgment, and that the only way that we can stand before a holy God is because of what Jesus has done for our behalf. That when we stand before God, and the question could be asked, and sometimes this is a point of evangelism, is if he was to say, why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I let you come live with me forever when judgment is what you deserve? Is that we could say, because of the mercy of Christ and what has been shown to me and through him and by him, I stand here before you, God. It's because of your son who gave it all. And so if we have thrown, or not even thrown, but cast all of our faith and all of our being upon that truth, then I think that it's something that we surely should share with others around us, and that we should, even in the midst of those seasons of life that we endure through, I believe that in our weakest moments, God is magnified. Share the story, the precious story, a boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.